Over the next few weeks, you're going to hear from some of our pastors, and you're going to hear our favorite messages or maybe a message about one of our favorite people in the Bible. And for me, one of my favorite people in the Bible, his name is Peter. And Peter was one of the disciples, and Peter was just this guy who was a little reckless himself. He was a guy who was just all in, no matter what was going on. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water? It was Peter that jumped out of the boat and said, "Let me walk on the water with you, Lord." And he started walking on the water, and eventually he started sinking. He took his eyes off Jesus, but he was just a guy that would go for it. He was quick to speak. When Jesus told him one day, "You're going to deny me, Peter," Peter just yelled out, "No, I will never deny you." But he did. He was quick to act. Whenever they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, Peter was the one that grabbed the soldier's sword and swung it and cut his ear off. And he failed a lot, made a lot of mistakes. But Peter loved Jesus. And that's what made the difference in his life. And to be honest with you, I think probably one of the reasons that I like Peter so much is because he reminds me of me a little bit. Because I'm quick to talk sometimes before I think. It's just the way I am at times. I can be quick to act, to jump in. I can defend things and people that I believe in without considering who's around sometimes. And I fail a lot too. But I love Jesus because he's made a difference in my life. But that's the reason that I like Peter so much. And the title for today's message is Love Is. And we're going to see this conversation that Jesus has with Peter where Jesus shows us what love is. I'm going to give you 5 points today that we'll talk about. So we're going to see this conversation that happens. And leading up to this conversation, just to kind of put it in perspective, Jesus has done his ministry here on earth, and he's betrayed and he's arrested. Judas betrayed him, one of the disciples. He's arrested, and now here's Jesus. He goes to trial. They crucify him on the cross. He's buried in the tomb, but then the resurrection takes place, and Jesus conquers death. What a great day that was. The women come to see Jesus. The tomb is open. The stone's been rolled away, and Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene as she's walking away, and he tells her to go and tell the disciples what's taken place. And so she does, and then Jesus appears to the disciples, and they're behind closed doors, the Bible says, because they were scared of what the Jews would do to them. But he appears to them. And then a few days later, he appears to the disciples again when Thomas is there, because Thomas, when he first appeared, wasn't there. And the others told Thomas what had happened. Thomas said, "I'll believe it when I can touch his scars and I can put my hand in his womb." And Jesus showed up and he said, "Thomas, come and see." And then there's a third time that Jesus appears to the disciples, and that's where we pick the story up. So I want us to read from John chapter 21. If you got your Bibles, open it there. If you don't, turn your phone on, open the app that we have. You can take some notes there. We'll also have everything on the screens, all right? So John chapter 21, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee." This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, named the twin, nicknamed the twin, Nathan from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "Going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. And they went out in a boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" I just think that's kind of funny. Jesus just yells out, "Hey, fellas, you know, did you catch any fish?" Their answer is no. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then a disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net onto the shore, for they were about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And let me stop there for a moment. You know, when Jesus speaks to us, we're going to know it's him. There's no other voice like the voice of Jesus. And so they knew who it was. Verse 13, then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples since he had been raised from the dead. I think one of the neat things in this story is Jesus just shows up on the shore, but he doesn't just show up for a visit, but he blesses the disciples and then he cooks breakfast for them. I mean, how crazy is that? That Jesus cooks breakfast for them. It's probably the best fish they'd ever eaten, right? Probably cooked perfectly. The meat just fell right off the bone. You didn't swallow a bone or anything. And so here's Jesus, and he makes breakfast for these guys. Now, let me ask you a question real quick, all right? This doesn't have anything to do with the message, really, but how have you enjoyed the weather that we're having right now? Somebody said amen. It's been hot, all right? I mean, how many of you enjoyed the weather we've been having lately? A couple people are like, yeah, okay. Well, how many of you enjoyed the weather, though? Now, about this point, some of you are saying, you know what? I think the weather got to Garland. He asked us the same question three times. What's wrong with you? Well, in this story that we're looking at, this is what Jesus does with Peter. He asked him the same question three times. So let's jump in and let's read it. Verse 15 says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Now, the only reason that someone would ask you if you love them three times in a row is either they have become very insecure or they're trying to make a point. Well, Jesus wasn't insecure, but he was trying to make a point for Peter. And so he's trying to point out some specific things that Peter needs to learn. So I want to point these out to you. I'm going to share with you five things that love is, and we got some sub-points too. But here's the first thing. Love is more than a statement. Love is more than a statement. Now, there are many who will tell you that they love you. That's great. I love you. But what does that mean? I mean, what comes with that? I mean, when you stop and think about it, for some it's real, and you know it by who they are or what they've done or what they do. There's some people in my life personally that I know whenever they tell me they love me, it's true. And the reason that I know that is because I know them. I've experienced it in my life with them. We've done life together. I know them. We've walked through the good. We've walked through the bad. They still love me. And I know when they say it to me that they mean it. And that's a great thing. I believe this is true for believers, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who have accepted God's love in their life. Because if you have God's love in your life, it changes you. God puts a love in your heart for others. So if a believer looks at you and tells you they love you, it should be true. But you know what? For others, it's just a statement. Maybe it's words just said out of obligation or guilt or emotion maybe. Maybe it's selfishness or it's even for gain, that they can benefit from it. And I've had people in my life who tell me they love me when I know in my heart it isn't real. Because they don't know me. They don't know who I am. Well, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. And I've heard some say that this was, you know, it was an answer to Peter denying Jesus three times because he had just done that before Jesus was crucified. And I believe there's truth in this, but it wasn't to beat Peter up or to push him away. Because Peter had just blown it, probably made some of the greatest mistakes he'd ever made in his life. He told Jesus, he goes, I'll never deny you. And what does he do? He turns around and he does it three times. But Peter was still a part of the family. And God makes that very clear because in Mark chapter 16, as they give the account of the resurrection and the tomb being empty, the women run to the tomb, the stone's rolled away, they go in, and they find an angel there. And the angel looks at them and says, don't be afraid because he has risen. He's conquered death. And that was great. And then that, let's pick up. It says in verse 7 here, it says, now go and tell his disciples, and look what the angel says, including Peter. Because Peter had just denied Christ. Peter had walked away from that, just totally defeated. And the angel says, go and tell the disciples, including Peter. Peter's still included. Peter is still a part of this family. Just because he blew it, we haven't pushed him out. Said, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. This messenger of God makes it very clear that Peter is still a part. And you know, the great thing from that is that this should give you and I hope. Because if you're like me, you blow it. You make mistakes. You fail. But that doesn't mean that God pushes us out of the family. And so there's hope. So when Jesus questions Peter, we see three things. Here's some subpoints of this first major point, okay? Here's the first thing. There's a statement in this. There's a statement in what Jesus is saying to Peter. When someone repeats a question, it's as much about the statement as it is the question. And so Jesus is making a statement, and here's the statement that he was making to Peter. I know you've messed up. I still love you, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your life. In other words, he was saying, Peter, you're still a part of us. You're included because we've never pushed you away. I still love you even though you've messed up. What a great promise that is for us. Here's the second thing. There's also a confronting that's taking place because God will confront us whenever we sin. And so Jesus refers to him in his old name. He calls him Simon. If you look at this passage, three times when he talks to Peter, he calls him Simon. It says, Simon, son of John. Simon, Simon. Peter's name was Simon when he met Jesus. Jesus changed his name to Peter. When he first met him, he said, I want to change your name to Peter because it means the rock. And God is going to do great things with your life. But in this moment, Jesus was saying to him, are you the old Simon or are you Peter who loves me? And he was pointing it out, so he was confronting him. You see, anytime someone just says that they love you, okay, anytime when love is simply stated, it needs to be questioned. Because people will just tell you that they love you, but what does that mean? And do they really love you? And so in this point, Jesus was pointing this out in Peter, not because Jesus didn't know, but he wanted Peter to know that his love was real. And that's why it was questioned. Jesus knew who Peter was. He knew what he would do, but he wanted Peter to know that. He was building his confidence back up. And then here's the third thing. There's a lesson in this. Verse 17, it says, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He was hurt. And that word hurt or grieved means that there was heaviness and there was sorrow there. Not just because of the question Jesus was asking, but because of Peter's actions a few days before. That's why Peter was hurt. He was hurt because of what he had done, and now he had to acknowledge it before Jesus. Peter had denounced his relationship with Christ. And in this moment, there was a lesson that Peter was grabbing hold of and learning. Remember what Peter said when Jesus looked at him? He said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You'll deny me three times. Matthew 26, 35, Peter said, no, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. But he did deny him. He did. And Peter went from this, I will never deny you, to someone that said, I don't even know the man. He even swore to prove his point. And Peter was this confident, strong, and loud guy. But now he was meek and he was reserved and he was even broken. Matthew 26, verse 75, after Peter denied Jesus three times, look what happened. It says, suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And Peter went away weeping bitterly. He just broke. He was a broken man at this point. He'd gone from someone who had all this self-confidence to someone who now had self-doubt. He was even doubting who he was. You ever been there? You ever made a mistake? You ever blown it and you're embarrassed? You're ashamed? You carry guilt? You become defensive, maybe even angry, maybe even arrogant as a result of it. I've been there. It's not fun, is it? Sometimes that guilt and that shame just weighs us down. But I want you to hear this. This is so important. Sin and people will take your confidence and turn it into doubt, but God will never take you there. God doesn't take you there. It's the sins that we commit. It's the people around us sometimes who enjoy seeing us fall. But God will not take us there. And the confronting and the statement that was given, the lesson that Jesus was giving to Peter, wasn't just for Peter, but it's for us too. It's to remind us that God loves us even when we fail. And he wants to continue to use us. Peter makes this statement, "You know that I love you." And I believe Peter did love Jesus. I mean, when you think about his life, he did drop everything and follow him. He trusted him enough to walk on the water. He was willing to put his life on the line and defend him in the garden when they wanted to arrest him. He was one of the first ones to run to the tomb. And even in this moment, he jumped out of the boat and he ran to Jesus. I believe he loved him. But saying I love you isn't enough. Jesus wanted him to know that there was more to love than just a statement. You can't just say it, but here's the second thing. Love is an action. Love is an action. It's something that we act out on. Jesus said to Peter, he asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you." And Jesus says to Peter, 3 times he says, "Then feed my lambs, then take care of my sheep, then feed my sheep." There was an action that needed to accompany the statement. He said, "Okay, Peter, you love me, but I want you to do something. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep." In other words, don't just say it, do something. Don't just say you love me, but live it out. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions." It's our actions that show that the love is real. Actions show the evidence of our love. That's in anything that we love. 1 John 2:5, it says, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him." You see, the proof of our love for God is that we obey him. We do what he asks. That's our actions. 1 John 3:19, "Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so that we will be confident when we stand before God." It's our actions that show it. You know, when I was growing up, my biggest reason for obeying my parents was my love for them. Now, there were consequences. My dad was a big guy, big strong man. And if we blew it, there were consequences. There always were. And I grew up in a time where you would deal with those things. But bigger than the consequences was the risk of me disappointing them because I loved them. And so I didn't want to fail them. And the reason why is because I loved them. And the same needs to be true for our Heavenly Father. The reason that we don't want to disappoint him is our love for him, because we've experienced his love for us. So love is an action. Here's the third thing that Jesus wanted Peter to understand in us as well. Love is about others. It's about others. It's not just us. It wasn't just Peter and Jesus, but it's about others as well. And so Jesus answers Peter's statement 3 times. He says, "Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." See, Peter was a lot like you and I. He had to be told more than once. But he said, "Peter, I need you to do something, and I need you to do it for others. Because love's not just about this, it's about others too. And so I need you to take care of my sheep, those who are going to believe in me." You see, when we love someone, we choose to love what comes with them. We choose to love what comes with them. It's an unconditional love if it's real. And there was going to be some things that came along with the sheep that weren't pleasant always. You know, when I married my wife, I chose to love her family as well. And in her family, there was good and bad, okay? We won't talk about that, all right? But when she said she loved me and she married me, she chose to love my family too. And in my family was good and bad. I can talk about that, All right, maybe later, okay? But we love what comes with it because love is unconditional. And so Jesus was telling Peter, Peter, if you love me, then you got to love what comes with me. It's my sheep. It's the followers of Jesus. And this is where it gets messy, because a little lamb is cute and sweet, but some of the sheep ain't pretty. Let's just be honest, right? I mean, you and I are sheep. That's what we're referred to in the Bible. And sheep can be stubborn and mean and smelly and woolly. And some follow, but some wander, and some just walk away, right? We've all been guilty of some of this. I have a little experience in this because when I was a kid, my grandparents bought a little lamb. They named it Mary. Good name for a lamb, huh? All right? I always thought Mary had a lamb, but my grandparents had a lamb, and it was named Mary. So whenever they got this lamb, it was small and little. We went over to their house to see it. And, oh, we loved Mary. Just this little, you could pick this little lamb up, and you could hug on it and pet it. And Mary was just so sweet and soft and cuddly. And so a few weeks went by, and we came back to my grandparents' house. And the first thing my sisters and I wanted to do was see Mary. So we go running in their backyard and jump into where Mary's at. And Mary's in there, and you know what? All of a sudden, Mary wasn't very nice anymore. Mary had become mean. And I mean, Mary was pushing us off and not being very kind to us. And I remember I turned to walk away, and Mary, she lowered her head, took off running, hit me in the butt and knocked me down. I mean, just bam, I went straight down. I was like, you know what, I got out of there. I didn't like Mary anymore. And my grandmother told us that my cousin who lived next door to them was mean to Mary. And she said, you know, your cousin's always mean to Mary, so Mary doesn't like children anymore. She's become mean. That's another message. If we're mean to people, they become mean. But a lot of truth in that too, isn't it? But you see, leading and loving sheep is not always easy. They're not always cute and cuddly. Sometimes they want to hit you in the rear and knock you down, even when you're trying to love them. But please hear this. God's love for us and our love for him impacts how we love others. Even when it's messy, we still love because Jesus loves us when we're messy. Peter was messy, and Jesus still loved him, and he grabbed him, and he put confidence back in him. We love others because we have been loved. And then here's the fourth thing. Love is willing to pay a price. If love is real, it's willing to pay a price. Look at how Jesus ends the conversation. At the end of this passage, the last thing that Jesus says to Peter is, follow me. He said, then follow me. Copy me. Love like I have loved. If Peter was going to follow Jesus, there was a high price that he would have to pay. And Jesus tells Peter about it. Look in verse 18. He says, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. You see, what was going to happen was for Peter to follow Jesus, it was going to cost him his life. He would have to give up his life because he followed Jesus. But in that, I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing for Peter. And I really believe that Peter was probably somewhat excited about it because he knew that in his death he would glorify God. Jesus told him that. In other words, Peter, you're going to do great things for my Father. And this was a life-changing moment for Peter because he knew that he had just failed Jesus. And here's Jesus looking at him and saying, listen, you're still part of the gang. You're still part of this family. Not only are you a part of this family, but I'm going to let you take care of my sheep. You're going to do great things, and even in your death, you're going to glorify God. And he was putting that confidence back in him. He said, you're going to love the unlovely. You're going to feed them and care for them. You're going to die for me, but you're going to glorify God in your life and in your death. Because there's a price that has to be paid for love. There just is. We all sacrifice when we love. But then here's the fifth thing, and this is great. And then there's a fifth thing that's true about love. Love is a gift. It's a gift. Love's a gift. When we love someone, we're giving them the gift of love. But there's a love far greater than yours and mine. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, there's a love that gives us life. And it can only come through Jesus. That's God's free gift. Love is to be given away. And you know what? As Peter went on in his life, this is something that he did. Because Peter got his confidence back. His life was changed. And the next book over in the Bible, the book of Acts, in chapter 2, Peter preaches to thousands of people. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us that he gave away God's gift of love, and 3,000 people stepped into a relationship with Jesus that day. 3,000 people that Peter was used to reach for God. And there's no greater example of love than the one that we see from our Heavenly Father. Look at John 3:16, verse we should all be familiar with. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That's the gift of love. That God loved us enough to tell us what love is. You see, God's love is more than a statement. God loved the world so much. God's love is an action that he gave. God's love is about others, so that everyone. God's love paid a price. He gave his one and only Son, Jesus. God's love is a gift so that we can have eternal life. And Jesus was making sure that Peter understood what love is. Even after he failed, even after he messed up, he looked at Peter and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." Peter's love for Jesus allowed him to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to love like Jesus did. And that's what Peter had to do. And Jesus told him, he said, "Follow me and feed my sheep. You take care of those that I'm going to put in your hands." And you know, like Peter, maybe we've blown it. Maybe we've failed along the way. I know I have. We've lost our confidence. We've seen it turn into doubt. But we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God that whenever he was on trial and he was going to be crucified, and one of those that was closest to him said, "I deny him. I don't even know the man." That Jesus turned around and he looked and he said, "I still love you. I believe in you." That's the God of second chances that you and I serve. And that's the way that he feels about us. That's why here at the local church we say we're the perfect place for imperfect people. That's you and me. And that's what we want to be. And we see the sorrow that Peter walked through, but God used it to take Peter where no one thought he could go. And Peter became one of those people that helped change the world for Jesus Christ. The reason the church exists today was because Peter was a part of starting that local church. And if you study the life of Peter, God used him to do great things. You know what? He wants to do the same with you and I. Doesn't matter where you've been, what's taken place, where you've failed. God will never waste our hurts and failures. Please hear that. He'll never waste those things. He will take them and he will use them so that we can help change this world too. You know what? I just really believe that there's some here today, and for the very first time, you need to step into that love. Maybe you're here and maybe you've come to church. Maybe you've grown up. I don't know. I don't know what your background is, but you've never stepped into that love that only Jesus can give. I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. Because we serve a God that loves us. And maybe today you need to step into it and just say for the very first time, "Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you."